Is that
can you hear that?
Is that the distance?
Distance.
Huh?
Did you hear the part?
Oh, I didn't hear that because I was secluded. Hear the smell. This is Hello Kopi Camilo Podcast, and today we have Lewin.
Yes.
Lavender bicycle man from Germany.
Yes, but I'm not leaving. I'm leaving.
You're leaving.
Yes.
You're not leaving. You're leaving.
No.
You're leaving.
My name is Lewin.
You're Lewin, so. But you're almost leaving. Somehow leaving.
I hope I'm leaving. So yes. Yeah.
Today we have Lewin, the traveler, the bicycle man, the guy, the technician, the genius, the teacher. The German.
Maybe in the future I will be teacher.
Yeah. That's what's right. Your story like, man? You seem like a mysterious guy. You seem like you are like a person who is hiding behind a CIA mission job.
Yeah, I'm on a mission.
Spy.
But if I tell you, I will have to kill you. You know, I'm undercover agent because of the coronavirus.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm at the moment traveling, more or less like you. And I like to travel with bicycles. It's like a natural way.
I think you have your bicycles because you've predicted that there's going to be a road blockage.
It's like really liberating to know that I don't depend on the public transportation, on trains and buses.
Yeah, man, how would you describe yourself, bro? Why do we not know about you as a human being?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, it was interesting how you see me, like I'm very mysterious.
Yeah, because
I'm not very expressive, maybe. I don't scream, I don't cry.
Like, because I have a lot of German friends, right? And you are the cliche. You know what I mean? Like, I've always been looking for this cliche, and you're the first.
Okay.
You know, but you, I've met a lot of Swiss like you.
Yeah, I think the German cliche is that Germans are very organized and tidy and structured, and are looking for time and schedule.
I think somehow you are like that. Maybe like if you're late, you'll be stressed out, I think.
No.
No? Now let's say if you have something, let's just say if you're volunteering here, at 12 you start volunteering, at 11:59 your vacuum is ready. I think you're the kind of person.
If I set a time, if I say I will start vacuuming at 12, I would be very nervous if it would be past 12.
Yeah.
Because it's like a promise.
Yeah.
That's why I don't say I will be there at this time. I will. Maybe say I will start in the afternoon or start
to so be
morning.
More flexible.
Yeah.
But yeah, how would you describe yourself then if it's not that all of the above? Like, because I've met German who are outgoing, I've met German who are friendly, I met German who are exactly like Asians, and then there's you right now.
Okay, I'm not.
No, you're like Swiss, bro. You're like mysterious. You're like hidden. And then you exist, and then you're missing again. I mean, I understand the past couple of days has been your assignments, but also even without the assignments, I feel that that is your characteristic. Like, you're there and then you'll be gone without people noticing, you know, like a spy.
Yeah, it's interesting. So from my past, I was very introverted.
Okay.
So I did not like have a big circle of friends, but basically, maybe this... The way I was in school and everything is my past, and now I'm more comfortable speaking to people and approaching new people, and but basically I can live in solitude very easily, so I would not be very sad to live
alone
for a while,
yeah,
or travel alone. For me, it's not a big deal. Maybe for some people, it's very important to have someone to always take the path together.
Yeah. For most of the people actually in this world, I think at some point to a certain degree you will realize that solitude is hard. You know, it's comfortable in some ways, but if you're alone all the time, you will go crazy, I think. At least for me.
I think it's the opposite.
Yeah.
I think it's like a liberation. Being like you can be alone and you won't be depressed. You can be by yourself and not be sad.
Yeah.
And then if you have people around, it's like a bonus, you know.
It's
like your base level. You are comfortable with this.
Mm.
But if you have people, it's additional value.
Yeah. It's like a gift.
Yeah.
Okay, but when do you realize that you have this gift of teaching, man? Like the patience of teaching.
Teaching involves also a lot of patience.
Mm.
There's a lot of patience involved in teaching. I was working in this park, climbing park. It's not really climbing. It's
wall climbing.
So you're not you're not climbing a wall. You're climbing from tree to tree. Yeah, and then my job was to show people how to use the equipment, how to be safe in the park.
Like a safeguard, like a guard. Like
I had several jobs, and it's like a puzzle. I just did like my studies was mechanical engineering. And at the same time, like part-time, I had a few jobs. Like, for example, in Greece, I was working as a windsurf instructor.
Damn.
For windsurfing.
Why were you in Greece?
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
What was your thought process? Why did you choose Greece?
It was not my choice.
Oh.
It was more on a big cycling trip I did.
Mm.
I started from Europe.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go more east with the bicycle. And My plan was to go from Bulgaria to Turkey and then continue from there. But one city, one guy told me, why don't... So it was at the border to Greece, and he was a Greek guy, and he said, why don't you go cycling Greece? Like, Greece is beautiful. You don't want to miss that chance. And then I thought, yeah, I think this guy is right. So I cycled to Athens.
You cycled from where to Athens?
Basically from Germany, from home.
Oh.
All the way.
How many days does that took?
It doesn't take very long. I think it took a little bit more than 30 days.
Damn.
1 month. Yeah. Yeah, and then I was I went to Crete first. I was cycling there. And then a part of my equipment got stolen, my solar panel. Then, because of this, I was really pissed, and I just wanted to leave the island. And then I went to the port to take a ferry to Turkey, to Rhodes first. But I saw, there's one tiny island in between, and I thought it would be nice to stop there. And somehow I ended up being on this tiny island for 10 weeks. Island is called Karpathos.
Okay.
It's a very beautiful nature, but there's not many trees or stuff. It's more like rocks and the sea, the ocean,
right.
The Mediterranean Sea is really beautiful, clear water.
What did you like most about this island, man?
Yeah, the thing was, I saw on Google Maps, what can I do on this island?
Yeah.
Because it's so small. It's maybe the total length of the island is less than 50 kilometers.
Okay.
And it's very narrow.
Mm.
And then I saw, there's a windsurfing school. So I called there and I asked, maybe, can I work in your windsurf school and then surf for free? So I didn't want to
get paid,
only to surf for free. And it was a big coincidence because the owner and his wife, so they were expecting a child, so she was pregnant. So they were looking for someone. And then instantly she said, oh yeah, you, I can show you how to teach. And I was like, oh, in my mind I was like, oh shit, I don't know how to windsurf.
Timing, man.
Yeah. And then I thought, wow, this would be a great opportunity. At the same time, I was a little bit nervous about this.
Yeah.
Because I need to, if I want to teach someone, I need to know how to do it.
Mm. What lesson you learned there, bro? Like, what was the thing that you gained in that 10 weeks of windsurfing?
There are many, many people came to this island, and it's always, it's interesting to be on the other side. You're like not for vacation there, you work there, and there are tourists coming, and you have a chat, you talk to the people, and then they will leave again. And it's funny to, at first it's funny to be on the other side. And I learned a lot about teaching. I had one, I think the first lesson I gave was horrible, because the wind was so strong. You need to know that this island has the strongest wind in all Europe, because it's all of the shape of the island and the conditions, they have very strong winds. So I tried to show how to turn, but I couldn't make it. So this was a little bit embarrassing for me in this moment. And I said, it's really difficult in this condition. It was really difficult. It's even for good surfers, it's with this beginner equipment, it's not easy.
Mm.
So for me, this was the biggest thing I took out of the story. As a teacher, I still could feel the struggles the people are going through, because 2 weeks before, or maybe 1 or 2 weeks before, I had the same struggles.
Okay.
So I knew exactly how to solve those problems.
Are you like a natural problem solver? Like, yeah. Some people are more creative, some people are curious about life, but I think you are problem solving kind of guy. Is that true?
Problem solving machine.
Yeah. And also, like, when did you start repairing your own bicycles, man? How did that story begin? Since you started riding bicycles while traveling?
So this was also quite a new field for me. I was riding bicycles for a long time, but I didn't know how to fix them.
Yeah.
I could maybe change the chain or change the tires, and this was the maximum I could do. And now, it's basically the same, like with anything. You think at some point you feel like a resistance, or I won't understand that, it's too difficult for me, or you need to have a teacher, or at some point you just need to say, hey, I want to try. Maybe you will find someone who can show you the basics. And then for the cycling trip, I built my own bicycle, basically, from different parts.
Damn. You build your own bicycle?
Yeah, with the help of a friend of my father. He had a workshop, and every time I was struggling with something, he could tell me, now you can do this and this, use this tool, and then so I could continue like this.
Crazy. That's probably priceless, man, because like what you learn from him probably be something that you can't learn from university or something, right?
Yeah.
Crazy how that act as a life tool, you know? Like now you're here and coincidentally you repair bicycles now. Right, everything is falling into place for you, dude.
Yeah, but I'm likely to forget about those achievements. For me, it's then I think, oh, it's just normal. But then I forget that I used to learn it, and it's really, there's some effort involved in knowing how to do it. I think it's maybe it's the same for anyone who's in one field. He thinks, oh, it's just normal, I do it normally. And for other people it's really special. Wow, you know how to do this. And it's easy to forget about those things.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think like you are a product of your family members, or does this happen naturally because of your environment that you're in Germany? Like problem solving apart from like being like a full on expert in another field, you know? Like for example, if you ask me why am I the way I am, I would say it's my siblings, you know, it's my siblings and also the my family structure made me what I am. But what about you? You think your environment is because of Germany's education system, or is it your parents? Who influenced you the most in life?
So I think it's a big influence how your parents brought you up, what they told you.
Mm.
So for example, my father, he's a carpenter.
Damn.
And he showed me a lot of about woodworking. So as a children, we made our own bows and arrows to play.
Damn.
It's a dangerous toy, but we used to play with these kind of things.
Sounds like fun, man.
And like using the saw and tools and everything. So for me, this was a normal process.
Mm-hmm.
But later when I came, for example, to study, and I see other people trying to put a picture on the wall, and they're struggling with this, I think, oh wow, it's not given to all people. Like, it needs, there needs to be the right condition so you can develop some things.
Right.
So I think my family was a big impact.
Mm.
I don't think the school system has brought me to this point of wanting to solve problems.
Okay. Alright. What are you curious about, man, in life? Like, what fascinates you? Like, I noticed that you like film recording, but...
But I'm not a movie person, so I don't... I'm not watching too many movies.
Like, and also one thing that differentiate you from the rest is, like, you like all these dry fruits. That's fascinating. I don't know. Everything is something, you know? About everyone, I think... What I realize, every little thing that someone does or someone likes reflects on their character. And it's organic to me. It's original, and when I observe that you like those kinds of things.
I love the taste of dried fruits, but you always have to drink water because otherwise it's hard to
digest. Is it because you're always traveling by bike? Is that why you are...
I think for all outdoor activities, mm-hmm. dry stuff is the way to go. Like, because you have calories without a lot of weight, so you can use pasta, but you have to cook it. You can use oats. Oats are great, and all this kinds of stuff. So you can, it's perfect for hiking and cycling. It gives you power. So, but back to the question.
What are you curious about? What makes you you?
About like getting to know yourself.
Mm.
It's really interesting because, for example, you have a certain skill. Maybe you, even it's the most simple skill, you can write. And then if you go to a country, for example, where many people cannot write, they will say, oh, you know how to write. And then you notice, oh, really? Yeah, I know how to do this, but I didn't think about it. And I think it's with a lot of things, you know, basically how you are, but you don't notice it. So you don't know where did it come from? Why am I like this? Is it me, or is it just one thing that other people gave me?
Why do you choose to travel, man? Why did you choose to travel right now at this time when everything's haywire with this virus and all?
The first time I traveled, it was really I had a big urge to go out. I did not know why I want to travel, but I felt like I am so nervous. I need to move. I need to explore some places.
Mm.
I need to find out how it is. I was looking on maps and Google Maps, Street View and everything, but I really made everything worse because I knew I need to be there and absorb everything. And now, why I travel this time, I don't really know either, because this time it was a big difference.
Mm.
I didn't feel like I really need to do this trip. I was at home and I thought, do I really want to go to Turkey? So my original plan was to go to Israel, but...
Israel?
Yeah.
Damn.
But now I made it, at least I could go to Turkey now.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I had this mixed feelings of maybe I should just stay at home. In the first couple of days, I felt like a big resistance of moving towards the unknown, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I was also hitchhiking, so this was one big reason it was difficult for me.
You were hitchhiking with a bicycle?
Yes.
How?
It's a folding bicycle.
So. No, I mean, like, how is your success rate?
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I figured a way how it's the best way to do this is you put your bicycle 100 meters behind you or 50 meters. So at first they will only see you. Then they will stop. And then I will explain, hey, do you have enough space for this bicycle? And it's really small. You can fit it in any trunk, basically, of any car. And no one that I asked said, oh no, because of the bicycle, I cannot take you.
So, but if the bicycle is next to you, then it will be a problem. It'll be like, they won't stop in the first place.
Maybe, yes.
Damn. What is your deepest fear, man?
I think it's deep water.
Really?
Yes. When the water is so deep that it's dark, you can't see it. When you look down, it's only dark below you.
When it's like an unknown. So that means you are somehow afraid of the unknown.
Yeah.
Oh, that's real.
But it's at the same time, it makes me curious, so I want to know what is there.
If you could have a cup of coffee with any dead musician, who would it be? And what kind of conversation would you have with them?
Let's say a cup of tea. Yeah, of course, Michael Jackson, inspirational person.
For you?
Yeah.
Well, how?
Not really.
What kind of conversation will you have with him?
I think really I would ask him maybe, what is the worst part of being successful like this?
Right, I suddenly remember what I wanted to say, man, just now. One of the other things that I see in you is that you're business-minded. You're business-oriented. Right, would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm right now I'm not a businessman, so.
But you have that at the back of your mind, right?
I have a lot of ideas.
Yes. And then also your ideas with a tiny house and minimalism.
Yeah.
And how did that all came about? It's
really interesting. So most people are stuck in their thinking, oh, I have to do it the same way like my parents did it, so have a house and everything like in a regular way. But I mean, a tiny house has so many advantages because you can afford it more quickly. You can design it in your own way. It's like a expression of yourself, more or less.
So but does it cost more?
No.
Okay. But you have to buy the land. You have to own the land. That's the only catch.
Or you can maybe have maybe a friend where you can put it in the garden if it's a big garden, and if it's a good friend. But I think it's also the first influence is how you were brought up. Mm. If you care for the environment, if your parents told you, here, don't litter, don't put trash in the nature. This is maybe the start.
Mm.
And I think it's important for everything, like the humanity in general, that we will live in a more sustainable way.
And I guess your upbringing, family upbringing, is pretty solid. Like mom, dad, and then like you're the middle child and everything is perfect.
Nah, not really.
Yeah?
So we are not really rich people, first of all.
Okay.
So we used to share the clothes. So when my brother, he grew out of his pants, I will have his two small pants. They will fit me. So this was just normal, I think. And I always thought, oh, other families, they have more like stuff, more opportunities. They can go to
holidays and all that.
Vacation, hotels, or I didn't. This didn't bother me. Maybe to have a smartphone and have the newest stuff, and in a certain age you really care for this, and it's somehow important. Later it's not that much important, I would say.
On a serious note, what advice stuck through to you the most throughout your 25 years of life? Like, this past 25 years, what would be the one advice that you remembered the most that someone gave to you?
I think this is one sentence from Peter Rawlson.
Okay.
It's a one guy, he's giving workshops about consciousness and about awareness and like actualize yourself, and he said, don't believe everything you think. And I think that's really good advice.
I've heard that one before, but what does that mean? Don't believe everything you think.
So there are thoughts coming up to your mind, and most people they take those thoughts for true. They say, oh yeah, this, I think it, like, it must be like this because I can see the tree is green, I can see the airplane is flying, and so those are all thoughts basically. And you might think, oh, this airplane is flying because of this air pressure and everything, the physics and stuff, but at some point you can be wrong also, and you won't notice that you're wrong.
I see.
And it's always good to question yourself. Don't believe everything you think, you know.
Does that also subtly means like remove your ego? Is that anything to do with that? No, it's purely thoughts. Ego and thoughts, does it go hand in hand?
I don't know what you mean with ego. There's a big thing about this word, but I think it depends what you would say for what is an ego.
Okay. Right. Where do you see yourself, man, in 2 years' time? 24 months. Do you think you'll be still traveling, or you'll be more rooted to a certain place? And I have a feeling that you wouldn't be based in Germany, right?
So 2 years from now?
It's not too long, but it feels like a long time.
So I will... Probably I will have finished
your studies.
My studies, if Corona is not doing something with my studies. And I think after I finished my studies, I will take half a year off.
Travel again.
Maybe. It depends. I think I would love to have someone to travel with.
Partner.
Yeah. It's the same, as I said in the beginning, it's nice to be capable of being alone. I can enjoy myself, you know. But it's like a huge bonus to have someone to join me. And I want to build like a camper van.
Damn.
And maybe drive somewhere and stay at one place for a while. Actually, my plan was to write my master thesis in abroad, maybe in Spain. I can be there where's Wi-Fi and I can work from there and then finish.
All these plans of yours is just very different, man. And I don't want to be sounding like myself all the time, like, oh, this is interesting and this is amazing and all. But it's really different. I don't know, maybe it's a European thing that I'm not aware of. Like these kinds of goals, like treehouse, camper van, Spain. You know, like these things, like I would say you and me, we're very, like, it's not like opposite, but we are different species in a human, in a humankind. And I really like that. That's why I like to talk to people who are different. You know,
I mean, everyone is different in a way.
Yeah, but somehow you see similarities. I see a lot of similarities in a lot of people that I meet. But with you, I feel like it's almost only the bicycle.
Huh?
Only the bicycle part. You know? Like, in a good way. You know, when you see differences, some people might be like looking at it in a negative way. But when I see differences in people, I feel that they can complement each other, you know? Like, a combination of you and someone who's similar to you wouldn't give much effect, rather than you and someone who's very different. In, like, for example, a company, you know, it can benefit that way. Alright, this is where I give you a break, man. This is the infamous break that you will get, and time to flip the script and let you ask me any question that you have in mind. Anything at all apart from the podcast.
Okay.
You can ask me any 2 or 3 questions that you're comfortable with asking.
I need to come up with a good question.
Test 1, 2.
Yeah, so basically I don't know much about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. But somehow I feel like I know you, like your character a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And do you think you're if this is one line of averageness, and this is one guy, he's he's listening to metal music and super crazy, and like, If he's walking in the streets, people will notice that, oh, maybe this guy's a little bit different. And so from the average line, so it's not about listening to metal, it's maybe being different than the average. Where would you be on this line, or how far away from the line of averageness?
I wouldn't want to like toot my own horn, but I feel like I think I am not in the average. I'm not average. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not normal, but I'm not abnormal. So if that was max, that's average. I'm about 85. At the bar chart, okay, of 85, okay. Yeah, it's because of my Asian roots. Without my Asian roots, I think I'll go Tugai, for example.
Yeah,
I'll go Tugai. I'm not even surprised if I become Tugai when I'm old. You know what I mean?
100 is Tugai.
Huh?
100 is Tugai.
100 is Tugai.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100 is Tugai because it's old. But I am 85, I think. But the Asian roots let me self-reflect a lot, like holds me back a lot, you know? Like in my mind, I've already done it, but in reality, I haven't.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like second guessing, but more of this Asian mentality of making sure everyone is comfortable and not crossing the line. You know, so I have this weird thing where like, that's why I said I fail to analyze you, not in like a creepy way, but I don't know which is too much for you, which is, you know, I don't know what you're comfortable with. I don't know what.
And this is, do you think this is a thing from your Asian roots? Like,
yeah, because if I was a Western guy, I don't think I'll. I mean, it's like maybe generalizing, but I don't think I would care. I realize a lot of Western people, they don't, it's not they don't care, but they're not as sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a fair thing to say, but it's like, yeah, I think it's just a statement that Asians are more sensitive.
It's like the Japanese girl, I mean Japan is also quite different, but the Japanese girl, she came here very angry,
yeah.
And she said, oh, you're too loud, or what's the time, she didn't even say, yeah, it's, you're too loud,
but
she,
that's the extreme, that's, yeah, like a Tugai level, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, but for me, it's the opposite. Like, I weigh too much of what other people feel. Not about me, like, not what I feel. Like, let's say I can go crazy with the music, but what would that guy feel about? Would she be comfortable with this, you know? But with presence of substance, you get to see me going to two guy level. Yeah. Like substance, yeah. So, yeah. So I guess limitations can sometimes be a good thing.
Mm.
Or bad.
I think maybe the Western thinking is more like the way the other person is reacting is his own business.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my business to make everyone
happy,
everyone feel comfortable.
Which is a good thing though, right?
Yeah.
Because that trait is a good thing, you know? You don't give a damn so much. But Asians, we care too much. It's not a compliment, not at all self, like, complimenting my roots or whatever. It's actually a bad thing. That Asian, that including myself, like that, which is also a good thing. Like, I have limitations, but in art, in an artistic expression, I am nowhere close to being two guy.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question.
Uh-huh.
So imagine you have a box and you open the box, and there are a lot of features, and the features are
features
like they're pieces and. It's like character things,
mm-hmm.
like being like super brave or being attractive. No, it's not a character thing. Like being able to flirt very good with women, being able to have a certain skill.
Mm.
And you could pick one of those and make it yours. What would it be? Like one character trait that you could have take easily?
Being able to swim, bro. Seriously. I can't swim. But this sounds like a joke. But when you say that, I don't know, you said a lot of things. But all the things I feel like I already have in like a lot of ways, like in some ways or another. Just swimming is just, I can't do it. Okay, apart from swimming, you mean?
Yeah.
Huh?
But I think, yeah. Wait, I was so in my mind, like I had a picture of you trying to swim, but I think it's the same resistance you feel like going towards learning how to swim. It's a big resistance maybe for you because you need to say, oh, I cannot swim. How old are you?
27.
27 and I cannot swim. So maybe you will be embarrassed and people say, wait, you cannot swim? Why?
Yes, true, maybe, but this is the first time in my, like, throughout the seasons of life that I actually come up front about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not usually too proud about it. I'm usually, like, I don't even mention it, and I'll just avoid going swimming in the sea. Like, mm-hmm. everyone is just diving, and I'm like, I'm not there.
Yeah.
You know? But this is the moment where I actually confronted myself and just put it out there because I want to swim.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not ashamed that I'm 27. But I realize it has been a thing since I was 14. Like, it's not the age. Like, I just didn't know how to swim, like, automatically. Like, most of the people, they just know by default.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have that. I tried to. Every single year, believe me or believe it or not, I went into the water and tried. But it's not natural. It's not... Yeah,
but can you hold yourself over water for a few minutes?
Float?
No. Can you, if you fall in the water and you cannot reach the land for 2 minutes, is there a way you can stay up to the air?
I can't.
Until someone is going to save you?
I can't.
No?
Not that I've tried, yeah. But in swimming pool, I will walk.
Okay.
Towards the side wall,
mm-hmm.
and climb up.
Okay.
It's a weird thing, but I also did this, like, okay, let's swim. Mm-hmm. I will hold my breath for like the duration of the swim. Mm-hmm. Like, I can shrug, like, I don't know what it's called, like swimming.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't know the right way to stay afloat. I'm actually down there, but I push myself to struggle through to the end. Yeah. And then to the end, I'll climb up and breathe.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. And it's also a crazy thing to admit. And I'm glad I have no problem admitting it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, so from a teaching perspective, I would say you need to make smaller steps. So first of all, you need to think about the resistance of, like, you did not try it for the last few years, maybe, to swimming.
Yeah.
And it builds a resistance. So you can think, what could I do to learn it? Who can I ask? If you don't know how to start, who can I ask to help me doing this project, learning how to swim?
It's interesting how you put it, like a project. When I think of it as a project, then it makes me more relaxed. Yeah. You know? but actually, swimming is like a big deal, actually.
It can save your life. And
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, thanks for the question, man.
Back to the box. Besides knowing how to swim, like one character trait you want to take to make yours?
One character trait. This can't be like skill, right? You said?
No, it's not a skill.
Character trait, right?
Like being more patient or being more sensitive, being more loving or something, anything.
Yeah, can you give me more examples? Because all those things, I'm kind of working on it. But not like specifically that I want to boost on, but yeah.
Like more examples? Mm-hmm. I think it will distract you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think think about it.
You don't have to. You can also close the box and walk away and you say, oh yeah, I'm already fine with my
character. This is weird, but I wish I can be less curious. You know what I mean? It's a weird thing.
So you take the curiousness out. Put it in the box, close the box.
But I don't put a lock in the box, you know. I just close the box because curiosity slows you down, dude. I wish I can mind my own business sometimes, you know. You know, I wish I can not care about other people's feelings.
I imagine you're working on your project. Wait, was there a bird outside? What is this bird doing here? Is this bird watching me?
A little bit like that, I guess. No, man. Like, sometimes I wish I can block. It's not about focus, but more of like, don't give a shit. Like, what you do, man. I wouldn't be able to do that. Like, you were in the room doing your work, right? I wouldn't be able to do that in, like, this environment. Like, I can do that if I'm isolated in an Airbnb. I wouldn't be able to pull that off, that stunt, while everyone is here talking about life. You know, I'll be here, you know?
Yeah, but it's also one of these Asian things. You don't want to be the guy who is not being social. Like, you don't want to be sit in your room and the people will think, oh wait, he doesn't want to be with us, he's doing his own stuff, blah blah blah. This could be one reason also,
because I grew up like that. The interesting thing about me is that I still am an introvert. I am an introvert, but I don't know why I'm like comfortable out here. It's a funny thing. So I was like that. I was always in my room and my own music with the Asian people, with my family members, right? Because like I have a clash of perspective. You know, they believe a certain things, I disagree, and I can't, you know, I couldn't be part of that. So I can relate to you when you say that you can be alone and you're happy in isolation, because I felt that. But then I went to the extreme and I realized isolation can be lonely. You know, in like speaking of a truth of the matter, you know? isolation can be lonely. And then I flipped. I started being comfortable and I got addicted to the human connection. This is why the podcast came about. The human connection. It's also the Asian thing, but not so much of what other people think, because I went through like family members, like we have these celebrations of whatever festive seasons, right? But I'll be in my room, like editing videos or doing my music, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't really care, but it's because on this journey, what I'm talking about is specifically this place. You know, you can choose to be part of the whole
community.
But you are able to detach. You know, you're able to detach. I wish I have that ability to detach, which I don't. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that?
Yeah.
Cool. If this would be the last the last meal that you've ever had, that you will ever have in your life, what meal would it be? What sort of food will it be?
I would not eat it. Then I won't die.
No. Like your death, you'll be hit by a truck. Okay. Oh my god, it's getting dark. This will make you understand the question.
So the meal that I want to eat before I die.
Yeah, the last meal. What sort of meal? And who will you share it with, man? Your last meal.
Well, I think I will eat lasagna.
Lasagna.
Yeah.
Damn. No, I miss lasagna.
With carrots.
With carrots.
Yeah, it's really good. So good lasagna, and I would share it with Michael Jackson.
Seriously. Seriously.
No, he's dead already. Yeah. So I cannot do this. I would share it with my family.
Specifically who?
Like
if there's one
thing
person.
With my mother, because she makes the best lasagna. So,
respect. Yeah. Thanks, man, for this wonderful conversation. I have these past few weeks, 2 weeks, I think, you've been here.
Yeah, it's almost 2 weeks now. Almost
You're also somehow vegan, right?
Yes, I used to be vegan for a while.
Yeah. And then, like, your perspective, you are actually strong-willed. I don't know. I respect that. I wish I have that. I wish I'm less malleable.
Yeah, I'm more relaxed now. I think the best condition would be, like, to have also those products, but without the mass production. So the problems about other things. So at some point, I always try to stay open, and this is also what I like with this sentence. If you say don't believe everything you think, if you can be dogmatic at some point, being in one way of thinking, and you will never find your way out. If you always believe what you think, you will always be in the same thinking.
Right. So you won't grow.
Yeah, you will be stuck at one place,
yeah.
And you don't know. You will think, "Oh, this is the truth," but maybe the truth is somewhere else, and you don't know.
Right, yeah. Bro. Thank you so much for that, and I appreciate your presence, man. Thank you so much for sharing your moments in this podcast. Hope to cross path again with you on
Thank
a bicycle,
you,
perhaps.
Mario. Thanks, man.
Bro, that was good.
Really good.
Yeah,
it's nice. I can continue like this.
Little Kobe Camilo podcast. Milo Fico, so yeah.